Rogers is trying to lead him out. Now Navidauskas in the middle as Christoph is coming now. Christoph is winding this up. Is he going to make it three in a row? He's being challenged by Marcel Kittel. Kittel is coming. Kittel is going. Kittel has won for the second year in a row. He has topped and tailed the Tour de France.
Aan het wiel van Stibart. Gaat daar nu al over en gaat met overmacht deze Paris-Roubaix binnenhalen. Gaat ze radicaal uit het wiel sprinten. Van Avermaat komt nog wel mede voor de eerste prijzen. Maar John Degenkolb valt niet stil. John Degenkolb in Paris-Roubaix. En Van Avermaat is andermaal tweede. En Stibart is derde.
The finale was absolutely sensational to watch. And I rewound online and watched it again, because the last 11 or 12 kilometers were just... It's difficult. We apply a kind of tactical genius to what Sunweb did after the fact, but they can't have planned it to have gone as well as it did.
Et là, c'est devant Warren Barguil, qui va peut-être aller chercher la victoire. Pourquoi pas un doublé français en lisoire.
Ah, c'est magnifique, ce qu'il est en train de faire.
La deuxième victoire d'étape pour lui, la cinquième pour le clan tricolore sur cette 104e édition. Il avait déjà fait le coup sur la Vuelta et ensuite deux années compliquées avec des blessures, avec des chutes. La résurrection de Warren Barguil, il s'impose au sommet de l'Isoire.
Bravo.
I can't believe. I think I need a few days after the tour to really believe how I was during the tour.
Peter Sagan tried to react, and then when Hershey was caught, Søren Krogh Andersen, also of Sunweb, so that was the third Sunweb attack in quick succession. Krogh Andersen went away, and that was the one that stuck, and he took the stage, another first-time Tour de France stage winner. Really impressive victory for Sunweb.
6 seconden, 5, 4, 3, 2... En Tom Dumoulin wint de Ronde van Italië 2017. Quintana gaat toch nog tweede worden met een seconde of 10 voorsprong. Quintana tweede in de Giro, maar Tom Dumoulin wint de 100cc van de Ronde van Italië.
Team tactics from Sunweb. Matt Winston, the coach, said afterwards that they were all in for a Sunweb win. And watching today reminded me of Pyrenees. They were the team of the race. We saw them on numerous occasions launching multiple attacks with Krogh Andersen, Tesh Benoot, and they do that really well.
Marc Cavendish, sprint lancé par Marcel Kittel, Greppel dans sa roue. Cavendish qui tente de revenir, il n'y reviendra pas. Greppel ou Kittel ou Greppel, Marcel Kittel qui résiste. Victoire de Kittel devant Greppel. Cavendish est troisième. C'est la quatrième victoire pour celui qui est le meilleur sprinter de ce Tour de France, le coureur allemand Marcel Kittel.
At the end of the 2020 season, we at the Cycling Podcast in Cycling Podcast Towers were discussing our Teams of the Year, an unofficial accolade that we've bestowed at the end of most seasons. There was a bit of debate and discussion, but I found it quite an easy choice. It was a team that has won our prestigious award or non-award before, Team Sunweb. It wasn't just their results at the Tour de France where they won three stages, it was the way that they raced there. And it had been evident at Paris-Nice, the last race before lockdown too. And then at the Giro following the Tour, they showed us something completely different, riding for GC and putting two riders, Jai Hindley and Wilco Kelderman, on the podium. Is finishing second and third and not winning a failure? I don't think so, not in the circumstances. Sunweb, as they were known until the end of 2020, have never been one of the big budget teams. In fact, I was surprised, given the coronavirus crisis and the fact that they were sponsored by a holiday company, that they didn't just survive COVID but came out of lockdown so strong and full of purpose. If there was uncertainty, it didn't filter down to the riders clearly. And if there were pay cuts on other teams, everyone at Sunweb remained on full pay when they weren't racing. We'll learn a bit more about this when we hear from Matt Winston, one of the team's coaches, later on. In December, at their launch for the 2021 season, the team manager Ivan Spekenbrink pulled a rabbit from the hat. A new and more secure-looking sponsor, DSM, a company described as a global science-based organisation specialising in nutrition, health and sustainable living, and based in the Netherlands, right next door to the team's HQ, the Keep Challenging Centre, where a number of riders from their development, women's and World Tour squads are based. The team, now known as Team DSM, formerly Skill Shimano, Argos Shimano, Giant Alpecin and Sunweb, has been around since 2005. It has always been a team that has stood a little apart, They have developed some of the biggest stars of the last decade, Marcel Kittel, John Degenkolb, Warren Barguil, Tom Demoulin, Mark Hershey, and then let them go, sometimes in acrimonious or mysterious circumstances. Hershey is the latest, a breakout star in 2020, winner of a Tour de France stage and Flèche Wallonne. He abruptly and without warning left for UAE Team Emirates at the start of 2021. Neither his old team nor Hershey himself has elaborated on why, though L'Équipe reported in late January that he will earn 14 times his old salary at his new team. A family member was also quoted as saying that sometimes Hershey had the feeling that he was suffocating within an organisation that was too strict. We then got a hint of the other side of the story in mid-February, when it was reported that it was Team DSM's decision to let Hershey go, that the team management saw the Swiss as a risk to the team and the sponsors, and that he wasn't transparent in some of his answers to their questions, a claim that in itself raises more questions than answers. Hershey and Team DSM both signed non-disclosure agreements, meaning that legally they are not allowed to talk about the reasons for his departure. Recently, the Belgian journalist Bram van de Kappel wrote in his newspaper Het Nieuwsblad about the regime at Team DSM, with their strict rules and code of conduct. Bram's story had details about the homework the riders are set, and he reported that Michael Matthews was dropped from the opening weekend races last year because he had failed to do his homework. Matthews, one of the team's stars, left over the winter with a year left on his contract. There have been other examples of riders being publicly disciplined for breaking team rules. Warren Barguil, fresh off the back of a Tour de France where he'd won two stages and King of the Mountains, was sent home from the 2017 Vuelta for going against team orders during a stage. Here's Bram van de Kappel telling me about what he found out in reporting on Team DSM.
I think the new guys, like the Belgian Thijs Benoot, it was his first year with Team Sunweb last year. And for him, he told me, yeah, it was lockdown. We couldn't race for 4 months. And every week we catch up with the team and everyone has to work out something like preparing a race or evaluating a team in the Omloop en Nieuwsblad, how they rode the race. And every guy has to do some homework, and every Friday night evening they catch up together with eight riders and some sport directors to talk about it and for 2 hours, and that was every week. And he told me, yeah, for me it's normal. I get paid for 4 months, and I couldn't race. So if I can do something to help the team and become a better team in the future, then for me it's okay. But you know also how Michael Matthews was, is. He's such a dreamy guy, and Thijs Benoot is very straight. He's very, in Belgium we say it, he's a monk. And Michael Matthews is totally different. So I think Michael Matthews thought, yeah, I'm one of the big guys here. If I don't do the homework, yeah, no problem. But that was not true. But the team put it out for the Omloop en Nieuwsblad and Koenen in February. So if they do it, that with a leader like Matthews, yeah, that says many. Eh? That is, if you put a rider out of selection for that, that says all of the team. Eh? If you do not allow the rules, yeah, it's sanctioned. If I see now the team for this year, the three, four guys, the biggest talents of the U23 are riding with DSM. Eh? The Norwegian Legnesen, the German Brenner. Last year, you had a young Dutch guy, team in Arendsman. These are very big talents. Also, the American guy, Kevin Van Marke, they're very big talents. So they still all know the histories and the stories about Sunweb, of what I told you, like the rules, and but they still want to go there. So there's something like attraction to go there, because they know if you're a young guy goes to the team, you could be a good rider like Hirschi, like all the other guys. That there's something in their mind, that DNA, that they think if you go there, you could be becoming a good rider. I heard many times in the team, if there is a plan, that's a plan. And sometimes they go to a race without ambition to get to win the race, just to learn something. But if you told that to some other teams, they start locking you. If Patrick Feve knows that in his team, I think he would be crazy on Twitter that you never seen before. So that is only on DSM they do that. Racing without a mission to win the race. Yeah, that's if some riders can't can live with that.
You've been listening to the opening of our latest Friends special, A Team Apart, which continues with interviews with some of the riders and coaches at Team DSM. The full episode is available for Friends of the Podcast. It costs £15 a year to become a Friend of the Podcast, and that gains you access to more than 30 exclusive episodes, including the Lionel Flanders, Mont Ventoux, Heat, Wind and Fear, Meeting Jean Bobet, our in-depth look at the Team of the Century, HTC High Road, our Grand Tour Diaries, and most recently, Lionel's Virtual Lunch with Rod Ellingworth. To become a Friend of the Podcast, go to thecyclingpodcast.com.